Ira Burkow joins us on Sports Byline. He's been with me many times, so that means when he joins me, he has another book out, and indeed he does. He is the former sports columnist for the New York Times and a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and his new book is called It Happens Every Spring, DiMaggio, The Splendid Splinter, and A Lifetime at the Ballpark. Ira, in your many years of watching and covering baseball, what makes it important in the culture of America?
Well, you know, I think that number one, it's more leisurely than football or basketball as far as primary sports are concerned, or even soccer. And so there's time in between innings that the fathers can talk to sons, and there's unless you're at the ballpark and the music is blaring and you can't hear anything, but. And then there's the tradition and history of baseball that is unlike any other sport that we have. And so, you know, once upon a time it was called a national pastime, mostly by owners of baseball teams. But I think that there was a germ of truth to it. And, and people have said it's too slow or it's attendance is great. And look, and when teams are competing in the playoffs, it's exciting. And they're made, you know, as exciting a sports event as ever occurred was Game 7 of the last World Series, Cubs and Indians. And I'm not saying that just because I was from Chicago, but and a lifetime Cub fan. But although I've been in New York for almost 50 years, but and it's an intellectual game. You know, it's thoughtful. And they wear, you know, knickers the way they did in the 19th century. You know, so it's similar in those ways. But it's just a beautiful game. You know, you can appreciate, you know, there's nothing any more beautiful in sports than a shortstop going deep in the hole, to make a play, gloving it with his left hand across his body, and then righting himself and throwing hard, a long throw across the infield to the first baseman and just narrowly getting the runner. It seems aesthetically satisfying to me.
Yeah, and just to back you up, I was down at spring training. I was going over in Scottsdale to the Giants game covering that, and I'll never forget walking behind a father and an 8-year-old son. The son had a big baseball glove. The father had his arm around his son and said, "Guess who we're going to see today? We're going to see Mickey Mantle." That is one of the special things that goes from era to era. It translates very well, doesn't it?
Well, you're right. You're right, Ron. You know, I guess, but in football, if you're close to the action in baseball, which is kind of nice, and there's the crack of the bat, but in basketball, there's the squeak of the sneakers and movement is so fast, and the bodies are crashing under the boards. I mean, basketball can be a very rough game, but at the sidelines of a football game, it's almost like a world war.
Mm-hmm.
Even the punt is noisy. But I've been on the sidelines and they're crashing and they're smashing and they're snorting. But the baseball is just it's more beautiful for me. Although I like basketball a lot, especially and football. It's fun to watch from a distance. But I wouldn't want. Like Joe Namath and even Brett Favre, they said that they wouldn't want their children or their grandchildren to play football.
I might point out to people that this is a collection of stories, so it covers a vast part of baseball and history and players and everything. But the other thing I like about this book is it has humorous stories in it. And I was talking to Willie Mays down at spring training one time around the batting cage, and I said, "What happened to storytelling, Willie, in baseball?" And he says it's a lost art, but you in this book have really collected some of those humorous stories. Tell one of them, and maybe you might include in the discussion the minor league catcher who was substituting something for a baseball.
Yeah, his name was Bresnahan, and I had a column to write one morning, and I was looking through the papers, and I saw a very small item about a Class A catcher in the Indians organization, and it was in Ohio, I believe, and he was thrown off his team because this is what he did. It was the end of the season. His team was in last place. So they had no chance for a playoffs. And he thought he'd bring a little humor to the solemnness of his team, which weren't going, wasn't going anywhere. And so he got a potato, and he shaved the potato to shape like a baseball. And he put it in his back pocket. And so at one point, the other team had a runner on third base. And the pitcher threw the pitch. He caught the ball, and very quickly he took the shaved potato out of his pocket, his right back uniform pocket, and then he threw over the head of the third baseman as if to try to pick off the runner. Well, the runner comes running in, and the catcher has the ball, and the catcher then tags the guy out. The umpire didn't think it was funny. He called the guy safe. And right after the game, the manager didn't think it was funny either, and he fired the player. And before leaving the team, the player had another potato, which he shaved the same in the to look like a baseball, in the shape of a baseball. And he gave it to put on the manager's desk with a note. And the note read, "This spuds for you."
it is great. Why do you think some of the storytelling in baseball has diminished?
Well, it may be in the sports section, I mean, all along the way, because number one, there are more and more sports. And number two, it seems that maybe the editors and the writers are looking for the nuts and bolts of the seriousness of the games. And there is, you know, there's the steroids, and there's different kinds of cheating and corruption and so forth. And so that's what they're looking for. And I grew up reading Red Smith, who was a great storyteller as a sports columnist, and that drew me to journalism and to sports. You know, he would write about, you know, the basics as well, but periodically, you know, he would write a humor column or something happening that's funny, and he could be funny, and a lot of it came when just talking to players. I mean, they had all these funny stories among themselves, and so I tried that, and over the years of my over almost 50 years of writing sports, and but I rarely see it anymore, and readers may not even realize, but they're missing something, I think. And, you know, I was charmed by that potato story, and readers were too. But maybe, as Willie said, it's kind of a lost art because the writers aren't looking for this kind of thing, and I think editors are not asking for it.
We only have a little bit over a minute left, and what do you want people to take away from this book, Ira?
Well, you know, there's opinions, there's as you say, you know, there's humor, there's drama, and it's a reflection of our lives in America and through the prism of baseball.
And are you happy with the way this book came out?
I'm very happy with it. I think the publisher did a beautiful job. I think it's an attractive looking book, and with a great cover. I hope that that readers share their love of storytelling as I did and as I tried to employ.
In about 35 seconds, is there a moment in baseball in all your years of coverage that kind of is etched in your mind?
Well, there's many, but you mentioned again Willie Mays, and at the end of his career, he was 42 years old, and I remember in spring training that he struck out, and it was getting later in the afternoon, and he's walking back to the dugout, and there was a shadow. He had a shadow. His shadow was sort of following behind him, and it was almost like this was Willie Mays at the end of his career, and he was just a shadow of his former self.
I want to thank you, Ira. Congratulations on another outstanding book, and come back when you write another one for us.
Okay, Ron. Thank you.
Ira Berkow, again, former sports columnist for the New York Times and a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Be sure to check out his latest book. It's a wonderful read about the history of baseball. Some great stories in there over the decades that he had been covering baseball. It's called It Happens Every Spring. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.